You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round 10 of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by New Rules, best when deployed by old refs. Actually brought to you by the amazing Patreon supporters of the MLS Fantasy Insider. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going. To learn more about how you can support us and our project here, head over to patreon.com/MLSFI. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com, and tonight I'm joined by my partner in fantasy, Ashley Savage. I'd also like to welcome our special guest, Tyler Ranchinator Norman from the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord server. How are you all doing tonight?
I'm great.
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. Glad to have you back, Ashley. Hope the Hubs is feeling better after his little sickness. Maybe not little sickness.
Well, last week he had strep, so he had to quarantine away from us. And so it was just me and the kiddo, and that was too much. This podcast isn't ready for Sawyer Savage.
So. We'll see. Maybe someday it will be ready. We shall find out. And of course, happy birthday, belated re-birthday, Tyler. Thanks for making the little appearance in between your birthday festivities. So hope this year is treating you well so far in the game.
Yeah. It's going.
I see he's rocking the DC jersey after the unfortunate results for Seattle last week. So we'll get into all of that, but it's very appropriate, Tyler, the longtime back and forth fan of DC Seattle. So can't blame him too much there.
Hey, I also have the Yedlin jersey for Miami.
That's fair. That's fair. And he's wearing a much better color now. Jersey.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is.
And I have the Nathan jersey from San Jose, who's also wearing a better color now.
So much has changed in the years, and that's what you can see. This is our 10th season, so there have been so many changes. It's such been a big celebration. We're still working on getting some of the old voices back to talk. Should have some fun stuff planned, maybe for during the breaks to have a nice big celebration show. But we are here to talk about fantasy from this recap and previewing for the next season, or next round. Sorry, not next season. That comes later in the year. But let's start by breaking down everything that we thought was important fantasy worthy to talk about from round 9. Tyler, what do you got?
Yeah, so I finished with a 105, and I feel like I made a lot of mistakes, so I'm not too happy about my 105. I started with Bawanga. I had him in my team almost the entire time. And then when I saw that Almada hit on my bench, I faded Bawanga for the 8. And I was like, ooh, that was not a good play when I saw Bawanga score at the end. Kind of upset me. I also swapped Christian Espinoza to Paint Sill. This was a tactical swap. I knew it was a bad idea. But I did it because I wanted to beat Black and Red in our head-to-head. Did not work out at all.
Fail.
And then I also did the panic play on Seattle defense, like quite a few people did. And that was a bust going Alex Roldan. Some players who have impressed me a lot is, I'm just going to say one that's impressed me the most so far is Robin Laud for Minnesota. It feels like he's the Reynoso this year. He has been so, so consistent. Just bonus points, assists, everything. He's been all around their playmaker for them, and he looks good. And I don't know if you like have watched any of the games or anything, but he's just it's phenomenal watching him play. And also to note, this last game, people were like, oh, you really need to load up on Charlotte defense because they saw the Minnesota lineup. But what they had said later was the coach purposefully switched the play style to force Charlotte to control the ball because they play better when they do not have possession. Charlotte doesn't like possession. So Minnesota forced them to have possession and then played the counterattack style and it worked really well, obviously. And my other person, I would say, I'm just going to say it now, Evander's matchup proof. That guy has yet to drop at all. And of course, this is the week he's going to drop. I do want to give a shout out to my own pick in the article this past week. I had named Nicholson Gomis for Toronto as my 0.07% ownage. If anybody remembers, that was my Nathan ownage when I grabbed Nathan for the first time. And he got the shutout. And I'm starting to think Toronto might not be that bad at home, but they're absolutely terrible on the road. And I mean, they're probably not going to score most of the time, but their defense isn't half bad at home. Also, you'll find out later with the injury report, but Chicago's down two of their playmakers, so now's your chance to capitalize on that. Ashley, what about you?
I started both Reagan and Alex Roldan in a late Saturday. I want more than the 4 points I'm going to bring in off my bench desperation. So that, I mean, sums up my week. Somehow I'm still overall ranked 26. I only moved down a couple of spots, but I think I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth there. So I hate last week. And I'm trying not to, you know, personally blame Wojo and Christian because I'm a grown woman and my choices are my own. But yeah, I didn't want to take 2 fours off my bench. So I threw a second Seattle defender against everything I ever say here and privately. And it bit me. And now I've really learned my lesson. So I also got a 105. But yeah, and I got destroyed in our first MLSFI derby round of the of the year to read. So, which doesn't bother me. It was more the red cards. I've never had two red cards. I've never had two starting players get red cards ever. So that was a fun bingo item to check off the list this week. Some players that impressed me. I agree with Tyler. I don't feel comfortable saying the exact same sentence that he did about Evander because I want to hate him, but I agree that he is just taking on like a Diego Valeri style in fantasy. I also, you know, just want to give a shout out to Chicho, who did Jack when all of us captained him last week and now this week went off. So really loved to see that. But I mean, he played an amazing game. That's the type of stuff I think a lot of us come to expect from him at home. And, you know, I think it says a lot about Chicago that he was able to pull that off, but just a really fantastic week from him. Santi Rodriguez lived up to the chalk hype this week. You know, he was on so many teams and for very good reason. It was nice to see him put together goal contributions, bonus points, etc. And then, yeah, I was very impressed with both Robin Laud and Lucho on the road. Lucho was a player that I considered but overlooked because of the road aspect, and he definitely strung together a great game and fantasy production. And then we've talked about him occasionally here, but I'm starting to think perhaps not enough that Klaus got 2 goal contributions this week away at Sporting Kansas City. St. Louis isn't quite clicking, and a lot of that's because no Lovin, but St. Louis isn't quite clicking fantasy point production the way that they were last year, but Klaus looks great. And so he's definitely someone that I'm keeping in mind, not this round because they're on a bye, but 2 goal contributions out of him last round was pretty impressive, especially, you know, Sporting Kansas City is a tough place to play. Some general thoughts, even though, you know, they tied, Timber's road form is getting kind of consistent. So I don't know that you can discount Evander in those road games much longer. New England are so bad. I put Carlos Hill on my bench this week thinking Toronto, even though they're at home, they're not that good. But turns out New England are just that bad. He also posted a 6, but I don't know, guys. I'm just really starting to really wonder what's going on over there. Minnesota looked good, and I'll echo, you know, Tyler there too, that I think to go into Charlotte, I was also surprised that some people were considering Charlotte defense based on the form Minnesota's had the rest week. And then LA Galaxy, that offense is just getting harder and harder to pick from. I saw so many teams this week with at least two players offensively, most with three. And now we're struggling between Jovalich and Peck when we were already struggling between Payne Steele and Pooj. Can't have four. So they're definitely getting harder and harder to pick from. And then I have no notes on the Seattle Sounders. Reed, you're up.
No notes. It's all good. No, I first I'll go to chat and just see. Had some great scores in here. 117s, 112s. Those are fantastic there, Michael and Scott. 109 for fantasy time. Very, very good. 95, nothing to cry at, Jacob. One of the ones that stood out to me, I think I saw it mentioned a little bit earlier here, but was, I think, Gene, you said this, about being upset about getting, like,
a 108.
A 108 for, on a single game, which was crazy. I was really happy with my overall scores. I came away with 118 overall. I didn't, Ashley and I usually trade bits and pieces back and forth before the end of the season, but or before the end of the round. But since she and I were playing head to head in the host derby, I was like, man.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, you didn't? I thought that's what you meant. Yeah, in the MLS.
No, I was just so distracted with my house being sick that I didn't even.
Nope. Our invitational, it was Ashley and I went head-to-head, so I was like, well, I can't share this with her. And so I was running notes by Christian this week. But I was looking at stacking up on clean sheet hunting, which is what we've talked about a lot. And so I actually started my team this round with Fry, Roldan, and Nuhu on my field. So I would have missed one of the red cards. but not all of them. But I had that in there as the placeholder because they were playing the later game with my keeperoo and switcheroos, and I had Freese and Thiago Martins on my bench looking for that. When I saw that New York got that clean sheet, I swapped out all of my players because I also had Cucho on my bench, and with the nine, I was like, that is going to be hard pressed for my defender to get a better score than that. I will take that nine every day. So I brought in a 7, 8, and 9 off my bench by activating that because I still had two defenders on my field, and bringing in Martins was going to be my three minimum defenders. So I had all that settled. I had Houston in there as what I was hoping for to try to just do a clean sweep of clean sheets. That did not play out for me. Ended up switching in to get Bartlow at the end after seeing some lineups. Be sure to check lineups, everyone. Those things do matter. And then I had Bossy as well since he was playing up top. Got 7. Not too bad for everything there with without any kind of goals or assists with 7 points. So we mentioned last week he's been generating some bonus points consistently. So he was a great shout out and disappointing not to get the win there. But otherwise, I had an LA Galaxy stack with Payne Steele, Pooch, and Jovalik. And then I had Santi, and then I also had Captain Messi. So missed out on some of those points, but overall, very, very pleased with the team. For me, I went up quite a few points with this score. I'd been having kind of a frustrating start to this season, so this was a great increase. I was honestly surprised that I was still 127th round rank overall. So there were a lot of big scores. 133 was the number one player overall, and that person had Nuhu in his team as a starter. So, but he did have Arango and Messi right there to choose from. So a lot of big scores this week. It really is going to depend on where you were in the lineup, in the overall rankings, to see if you went up or down, because this was some massive points. One on my head to heads, of course, as you know, for me, that's always a nice thing I like to see. Some quick takeaways. I will be, I guess, a little bit nicer about Arango. He was involved in everything, and that's he was involved in goals, he was involved in assists, like he was involved in every action, and you're right, it's exactly what we hope to see, and it's the benefit of playing against a weak team like that was something that may be carrying forward to some of our thought process going forward. I also want to shout out Klaus, that we mentioned him, I think it was Isaac who mentioned him a few weeks ago, talking about how he just has so many goal actions, expected goal actions, that he was really high on his target list. And a lot of that came through for him today, getting double digit points last week. We also saw Tommy come through with points in Sporting Kansas City with Russell back in the mix. That's becoming more of a conversation, but I don't think Russell played the full 90. So Tommy has just been racking up the points with the form of consistency. So that's going to be possibly a comparison that we start talking more in the future. But of course, I also want to mention Cucho. That was a topic of conversation last week when Christian and I were talking about what would Columbus do? How much time will Cucho get? And how much time do you need to give Cucho in order for him to produce for you? And he got all of the time this past week. Columbus does play in a big Champions League game on Tuesday. So we'll see what kind of legs he has for that, with hope he's been managed enough with his little red card break a bit ago to be just fine. But big points. But that was why he was on my bench, was I wasn't sure what it was. And it just worked out better for my lineup to have him there ultimately with the keepers and a ruse. The other part that I'll mention right now, just touch on, is Colorado. That was a topic that Christian and I mentioned during the show last week because of how much traction it had in our general chat at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord. I am actually going to be a guest on the Holding the High Line podcast this week with a good friend of the show, Matt Pollard. And I'm sure we'll talk more about Colorado there. I'm sure they'll ask me to pick my new Barrios, which I don't think that honor will go to a Colorado player this year. But two things I will say about Colorado is they were very popular in the chat last week. And Christian and I hesitated against that, saying that they were really at best bench plays. And we questioned some of their chance to get the clean sheet because we weren't sure what kind of strength Dallas was going to be at. They almost got the clean sheet. Late goal for Dallas coming in there. But Bassett was on an injury list that was released before the game started. I shared that on Twitter. So important to check those things out. That definitely impacted the Colorado options. Top scorers, even with a 2-1 win for them, two players got 7 points. So still not a lot of points going around right there. But I'm sure there'll be more about Colorado later this week on Holding the High Line podcast. Be sure to check that out with Matt Pollard. Other than that, I think we have some very interesting topics to discuss going into our player picks from this round, coming off of round 9. So I hope you guys stay around for that. But coming up next, we're going to talk about our quick housekeeping section going into round 10 after this. All right, welcome back to our housekeeping segment going into round 10. First, just a quick league recap. Don't want to do too many, but I've had a request for some specifics. I'm not doing a regular one because we still have some people duking it out, but Tyler wanted me to be sure to mention our Veterans League, as he described it, as a fist fight for first place. There are four teams tied 7-0-2, so it is a big fight there for sure. And of course, I'm also going to mention the MLS Fantasy Insider hosts Invitational, because yes, Ashley and I did have our head-to-head last week, which helped me continue to win. I am tied, though, in second place, 7-0-2, technically in fifth. We have Wojo still winning 8-0-1, and then four of us are tied at 7-0-2. I am tied with a very good company, though. We have Kung Fu Orca, Isaac, who was with us last week. Of course, we have Skylar, Mr. Fantasy, DraftKicks FFC right there. And then a team that I can't see because it's all truncated, Fantasy Soccer Data. Yeah. That's one of our players from the Discord as well, who is tied at 7-0-2. So really good company right there. Fantasy Soccer Data had number one a few weeks ago before Christian did. So very, very tight in the host's invitational, as one would expect, as it always is in the host's invitational. But let's move on to the actual details for round 10. Everything starts on Saturday, April 27th at 1:45 p.m. with Austin versus LA Galaxy. In fact, all of the games are happening on Saturday, April 27th, with a slightly modified, I guess, typical Apple TV schedule. We have that one game at 1:45, a whole bunch of games at 7:30, a few at 8:30, and then one game closing everything out on Saturday at 10:30 with LAFC versus Portland. I will be up in Cincinnati watching the Cincinnati versus Colorado game with my family, so it will definitely be a fun time for this weekend. But this setup does mean that you are very limited with your keeperoos or any kind of switcheroos that you're going to do. Last week was very micromanaging for me. This will be another one where you're going to have some limited options, and we'll need to pay attention to both the lineups and the results as games are coming down, as it will make for some quick decisions that have to be made. No teams are on a double game week, but you do have St. Louis that is out on a bye, which could help you activate all of those switcheroos and keeperoos and otteroos that you may want to do. Of note, as I already mentioned earlier in the show, Columbus is playing at home, hosting Monterey on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday or is it Tuesday?
I think it's Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Check it out real quick. But they are playing Monterey midweek. And then Toronto is also in the Canadian Championship, which is playing midweek in as Toronto. Well. In Toronto, yes. Those are both home games for these teams right here. We'll have to check and see how that will impact rotations. Of course, Columbus will be going all out for this game as they're hoping to secure a place in the final. And for Toronto, this is the final. And with hope, they've had some struggles in MLS this year. So they will likely, I'm thinking, going to go all out to win hardware for themselves, at least in Canada. So let's pay attention to how that impacts if you are looking at some of those players or if you are looking at betting against some of those teams. So that's what to keep in mind as we're getting everything structured for round 10. But Tyler, we had a lot of cards last week, and especially some ones up in your all's neck of the woods that may or may not be controversial. But tell us about the suspensions and injuries this week.
Yeah, let's start with some good news. We got some really big names that came back into the games this weekend. I'll start off with probably the biggest name is Hector Herrera came back for Houston. Mm-hmm. So that could be heavily impactful for their success going forward. Yakima Keys came back in for Atlanta. He got, I think, like 20 to 30 minutes. Randall Leal came in, which is also a big switch. I think he had like an ACL thing from last year that he just came back from. And then in Miami, Benjamin Cremaschi came back in. And that could be, actually, that comes at a really good time because of an injury that just happened for them with Diego Gomez. Some suspensions to keep note of. Eric Zavaleta got a red like 2 minutes after subbing in for the Galaxy.
Yeah, I did.
Andreas Reyes got a second game added to his red card from Disco. And Jake Davis is on yellow card accumulation, so he has to miss this week. Andreas Cubas for Vancouver is on yellow card accumulation. And then the Seattle guys that everybody has watched. Jackson Reagan, after VAR, picked up a red. I think it was like an orangish card. It could go either way, but I think it had to be whichever was on the field stands. And then Alex Roldan, I'd keep an eye out for multiple game suspensions because that was a really ugly tackle that deserved multiple. Regarding injuries, Montreal forwards are injured. Kokoro and Joseph Martinez. Kokoro and Joseph Martinez, we got an update that both of them will be out for 6 to 8 weeks, which is a lot for your two probably best forwards that you have on your team.
Yep.
So I don't know if that means to target them, although they still played decently well this last weekend. I can't remember how they played this last weekend, to be honest. Nick Haglund picked up an injury. I think it was undisclosed. Do you see how that went, Reed, or no?
Not sure, but he just came back from an injury, so it's either precautionary or concerned that it might have been re-injured.
All right. I already mentioned Diego Gomez. Aaron Long picked up a lower body injury for LAFC, which could lock in your Maxime Cheneau picks. Noah Buck got injured for the Red Bull Revolution, even. Shaqiri and Brian Gutierrez are the two that I wanted to mention for Chicago. Shaqiri got injured during the game. Brian Gutierrez got injured in warmups. So I always say if it's a warm-up injury, it's probably at least 2 weeks. We saw that with Benteke. He was out for a couple weeks, so keep an eye on that. Scott Arfield also picked up a warm-up injury, so he was a late cut. And then last update, Pedro de la Vega, he picked up another new leg injury, and they said he's probably going to be out for a few more weeks, which I would say just... I don't know. With the way Seattle's season is going, I'm almost debating just saying shut him down until the end.
Eight but, games, and Tyler's like, shut it down, new DP.
Yep, new DP, reset the roster. That's where I'm at. But that's all I got for injuries.
All right, thank you so much, Tyler, for that update. You can also stay up to date with all of the injuries, returns, and call-ups that may be happening in the various rounds over at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord. The easiest way to get there, MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. Some of the best players in the game hang out there, and they are happy to give advice throughout the week as you work to get your teams prepped and even do the little rate my teams as people throw them up there in chat. So it's a lot of fun. Very much encourage you to stop by and check it out, the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord, the place to be. But that is what we're giving to you to try to be prepared. We're going to wrap things up tonight by talking about the players who we are targeting going into round 10 right after this. All right, and welcome back to our final segment where we're talking about the players who we are targeting going into round 10, starting as always with keepers and defenders. Tyler, who do you have?
I think I'm on the chalk right now of Freeze into Lloris. I don't want to pick either Austin or the Galaxy. I feel like both those defenses are pretty weak. So I'm looking at the 430 slots, and I'm between Freeze and Orlando, so Freeze and Galese for the clean sheets. Mostly because if Toronto's going all out for a Canadian championship, they're going to be tired against Orlando, and I expect a clean sheet at that point. On that same note, I have grabbed Thorhalsson for Orlando. One, because he's an offensive threat, and two, because that clean sheet chance. I'm kind of going back and forth between if I want Wagner or Lennon this week. I think both are pretty good choices. Lennon is just so expensive. I might even go Wiley over Lennon, but I mean, I don't know. They're both on sets, and I love the idea of a set piece taker against Chicago, especially after watching Chicho last week. I also have Thiago Martins for NYCFC. I think he's the go-to choice, just given his passing accuracy and bonuses. He's almost a guaranteed at least one, if not two, bonus points for you. I also, on the NYC kind of train, I have Chenault as my fallback. He actually picked up 102 passes this last week.
Crazy amount.
Which is a lot. And if I think they had Jesus Murillo, I don't know what was going on, but he wasn't even starting or on the bench. I didn't hear an update on him or why. But if he's out and Aaron Long is injured, Chenault should be the starter. So I have him as a fallback, and then I just have a scrub as the last one. But I'm my big thing is figuring out if I want Lennon or Wagner this week.
Ashley.
Yeah, I'm also currently going Freeze to Lloris. In a second, I'll mention that I'm considering Orlando, but they've just been so leaky that, I mean, Toronto away from home, you know, all the way down the coastline after playing on a Wednesday, I do see it. So I might consider it for a bench defender, but I'm just not crazy sold on that choice. It's like on that same token, you should want a DC United defender because Seattle can't score goals, but You're not going to do that, right?
I might.
Ooh, they're all so bad. I currently have Brooks Lennon. At the moment, he's my bench defender for bonus points. Now, he only got, after point adjustments, he only got a 3 last week. But I think that this is a pretty favorable matchup in Chicago after the beatdown RSL just gave them. I also have Martins for NYCFC. I tinkered him away this past weekend for a Houston defender and regretted it, so I threw him back in. I currently have DeAndre Yedlin, who I like. And then I'm also considering Columbus defense based on rotation. I think that they'll rotate. I don't think they're going to go A-team, A-team, which makes me like them a little bit less. But the matchup is favorable enough that I'm going to slot somebody in and then just see who Columbus shows up with, right? At home against Montreal, I think is great. So it just depends on how much rotation that they have. But if there's too much Columbus rotation, I think I will consider an Orlando defender. Like I said, I don't, to me, Orlando and DC United defenders are kind of in the same vein this week, just based on how bad their opposition is at scoring goals. So, but they're bad. They're not good defenses. So
Aaron Herrera is a good pick, I would say.
I think he's a good player, but is he part of a good defense?
His fantasy points suggest that he's not a bad pick this week.
Sure. So those are kind of my two bubble teams for defenders, I should say, are Orlando and DC United.
All right. Good options. I think it's very tough for the Keeperoo this week. As you guys have already pointed out, you're either looking at using someone from the Austin versus LA Galaxy, which, in honesty, are you looking more at LA Galaxy on this end, hoping that they can hold off what has been a weaker Austin? That's a bet on a road team that I don't usually like to take with defenders, but could be if they're on your bench and you wanted to see that. And then you have that whole slew of 7:30 games. I think you guys have picked some of the standout ones right there. I mean, Orlando, Toronto, very good depending on the rotation. New York City, Charlotte, again, good depending on that. I'm keeping an eye on Cincinnati to see who they start out. Is Celentano going to come back? Don't know. Is it still going to be Khan going up against Colorado, who has been able to score?
I was going to say, Reed, I have been living by a rule this year. Do not bet against Colorado. Colorado will find a way to score.
Who has been able to score. And so that's the hesitation I have to picking anybody from the Cincinnati back line necessarily there. You mentioned DC, but you're right, Ashley. Who's a DC option? And it's really the Seattle back line that's gotten hurt. They still have some offensive options that could come through there with DC. Columbus is an option as well. I think that we haven't talked about, as you said, Montreal missing a lot of its forwards, have not done well with keeping clean sheets, and they have that midweek game. So it's just going to depend on who is in that startup, but that could be a team you have on your bench to get something out early. But that means you then have to either watch half a game if you want to go with one of the 8:30 games, which no one wants to do. Maybe Atlanta, if you have that much distrust in Chicago, or you're looking at that LAFC and Portland game. And I don't like the LAFC defense or Lloris this week. That is a desperation Keeperoo because I am more worried about Evander or Mora over with Portland than I am. And to me, going with LAFC as a Keeperoo is desperation for just trying to have a Keeperoo. So I almost want to say, if you're really looking at an LAFC Keeperoo, would you not be better served by just going with a single keeper this week, moving some of that money into your field and going with it? I mean, it's hard to say that. It's hard to justify it. If you have the ability to get two bites at the apple, why not? Which, again, brings in that Austin LA Galaxy game into some of the conversation, because that doesn't feel as much desperation to me because it's on the front end. So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens. Throw McCarthy into the bench. See what happens. If it works out, fantastic. Otherwise, I'm going to go with the guy who I really think has the better shot in one of these 7:30 time slots and just call it a day. Now, that being said, watch LAFC get the clean sheet. But I just have more respect for Portland's attack and for Evander specifically than I do.
You convinced me live. I am now.
It just screams desperation. I'm now
on McCarthy. You've convinced me live.
It just screams desperation for that. Like I said, I mean that's just my thought process when I'm looking at this. Is like, yeah, because usually that's what you're doing with the keeper. Is like, let me just see what those points are, then I'm going to pivot to this guy. This one is like, wow, the guy who I was really hoping for didn't get the clean sheet. So who's left? Guess it's LAFC, and that's not necessarily the position I want to be in. And it could work out and be fine, but that's just how I'm approaching the keeperoo this week. And so I know I saw a comment in chat from Christian, but when it came to defenders, he was like, no idea, no idea, no idea. For me, it's a little bit easier with this. I like to match up with my defenders. So look at if you want to go with LA Galaxy, defender du jour, whoever you want to put in there to pair that up, if you want to go all in with that keeper or switcheroo option. Otherwise, Martin's pairing up with Freese, going with Galese. You could look over at Thorolson, go with him, just pick up one of those Orlando players, see who you want to go with there. Otherwise, I like Lennon. I know he's expensive. I know he's not had fantastic results for his price the last few games, but I don't respect Chicago's defense. And so I feel like this could be a very good option for him. I think Wagner's another good option going up against RSL, but those are two pricey players right there. So you have a lot of options right there, I think, between those players. And maybe this is where you take the LAFC flyer. If you are going to go with a Cincinnati team, I think I would go Yedlin. I think you're right, Ashley. Normally I would lean towards Yazgo or Robinson or someone like that. But Yedlin, he got his assist last week, 8 key passes. Previously, when he got another assist, 8 key passes. So he really needs those key pass opportunities. And I think that he may have those opportunities against Colorado to get some of those key passes in. If they're able to shut him down, he's going to be risky. And I don't think he's going to have the production that you would see, because otherwise he gets like 1 or 2 points if he's not getting those key passes. But I think against Colorado, he'll have some opportunity to make that happen. They gave up. They were about 50-50 for everything in their game against Dallas last week. And I think Cincinnati is a better team than Dallas. So I think there'll be some more opportunities there for them. Also having them to have to respect Acosta and Pupenza, whoever else may be up top there with Kubo, whoever up at the top. So, but I do think that Yedlin is likely the Cincinnati player to look at if you are going to go with the Cincinnati defender right there. Quick check of chat. Trusting New York City boys this week. It's more of thinking that's a favorable matchup against Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte can pop out there. New York has had the nice set of form recently, but yeah, they've not always been solid. I really do like your shout out, Tyler, about Orlando. I think depending on who comes out there for Toronto could really help make my mind up of who my main keeper is going to be. And as Christian mentioned in chat, New York Red Bulls have the best clean sheet options, but Vancouver's attack has been something to take note of this year. So they've got some options there, and we'll see what happens with New York. So maybe a bit too risky for me on the defensive side, but you definitely have some options. Continue to check chat and ask your questions as the rest of this week develops. But that's enough for that. Let's move on to talking about midfield. Ashley, who do you like?
Yeah, I've been kind of plugging people in and out all day. So I like Santi. I think that the matchup at home against Charlotte is favorable, especially with the production that he just had. I also threw Lucho in pretty quickly. You know, I feel like the week we ignore him is the week we all throw him right back in our teams. And I know Tyler says don't bet against Colorado, but it's more that I'm betting on Lucho at home in the...
Oh, I just mean defensively.
Oh yeah, no, I know what you meant. In the form that he just showed. And then, you know, I know it's road, but Austin defensively is not fantastic. And so to me, a Puj Painstill choice is definitely necessary. this week, I'm not here for the both. I had them both last week for sure, but I think you have to pick one or the other this week, at least, because, you know, there's too many other good defenders to choose from. I also like, or sorry, I said defenders, I meant midfielders. I also really like Almada this week, and I know he's road, and I know I'm basing that off of what Lucho was, or sorry, not Lucho, what RSL was able to do against them this past weekend. But I do think that Chicago kind of is in the form that would benefit a Thiago Almada. How healthy is Gigi? Does that make an impact? He's definitely someone that he would be one of my first outs, but right now he's in my lineup. And then I like Bogush, Evander, or Carlos Heal. Miami isn't a great defensive team. You know, even Nashville was able to prove that, and they're a terrible scoring team. So to come in to New England, I think that maybe that's an opportunity for Heal, but New England's just been so bad, even at home. They're not a team that I really want to pick from. But Evander and Bogus is kind of a coin flip for me at the moment. We talked earlier, Tyler and I both, about the form Evander's in, how he looks home or away, what he was able to do against LAFC just a couple weeks ago in Portland. He had a, you know, double-digit goal contribution game that week. So it's hard. Bogus is also kind of coming into a good run of form, and they're at home. So there's honestly 7 midfielders I would like this week, and I'm going to have to narrow it down.
So one quick thing about Heal is he only has 3 goals this year, 2 of them on the road, 1 of them at home. A completely nonsensical stat, but it's just a fun thing to mention. However, he has all kinds of bazillion key passes and passing points. So, like, the man is just destroying key passes. Just they're not finding players to connect home. And so
they don't have Gustavo Bow.
They end up having poor scores. I had a conversation.
I think this is a sensible place to bring it up. I had a conversation with Christian a couple rounds ago because I was struggling with who to captain. And I wanted to do, I believe it was Espinoza. I wanted to do a midfielder who maybe like hadn't had a great previous round, but was a productive midfielder. And the conversation that he and I basically ended up having was me coming to the self-realization that I want to pick this midfielder based on what I know midfielders of that stature could produce in previous seasons. But with how things are being scored now, I feel like, you know, there's some midfielders that are just not going to produce as well in this new format unless they score or assist goals, right? And there were so many times where we would see, you know, different players producing a really high amount without goal contributions in the midfield. So I think I'm having trouble letting Heal go because he's still such a good player. But like Tyler said, he doesn't have a Gustavo Bow. He doesn't have somebody. He's not producing. And if he's not scoring goals, he's only picking up like 2, maybe 3 bonus points a game. So I don't know that he's worth it this week. I've yet to... I can't quite quit him. I don't know what it is.
That's fair.
Tyler.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a different midfield than I feel like most people. I have the core 3, and then it switches after that. So I have Santi Rod, Lucho, and one of Pooch or Painsil. That's the core 3, I feel like. And then I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I am going to take Robin Laud this week. This feels like the week because I've done my research. SKC has allowed 3 goals in 4 of their last 5 games. 4 of their last 5. If you're wanting to pick someone against them, I went back again. They're the playmaker or the forward is usually what is producing against them. So I am leaning towards the playmaker, and I'm grabbing Robin Laud this week, which obviously means I'm going to have to fade somebody else. That I mean, as Ashley said, there's like 7, 8, 9 mids that you could pick this week.
100%.
I have my fifth mid, again, as someone that probably not a ton of people have. I have it on Mukhtar, once again, because San Jose has allowed at least two goals in every single game this season. Every game. And Mukhtar has, I mean, he hasn't been great. I'll be honest. He scored one goal this year. But looking at who he's played Charlotte, which I guess that's kind of questionable, but it's when they were good. LAFC on the road, Columbus, Philly, and then Miami on the road. Like, those are all relatively decent defenses. I wouldn't say they're good, but they're decent defenses. And now they get to play San Jose. And I think this is the game where Mukhtar could, like, pop off for a hat trick. You heard it here first, folks.
That would be some good convergence, because he has not had very many opportunities with shots this year.
True. He's hardly taken any shots this year, looking at his stats. Now, that means I am fading Evander after talking him up in the beginning. But I'm targeting the defenses that are giving up a lot of goals. And I think it's right when those two defenses that are giving up a lot of goals are on the road this week. So I'm just playing with my gut, and my gut says pick Laud, pick Mukhtar. So that's where I'm at.
No, I totally get it. I did have them on the list of players I was taking a look at. So I'm glad that you did mention them. Again, yes, the core three for this round, Santi, Lucho, Amada is what I would say. I think it's a little bit different than yours. But from a lot of teams that I've seen, it seems like Santi and Lucho are definitely in there. And then Amada for that anti-Chicago feel that people have seen what happened last week and weeks prior and have seen some of the absences, and people want a piece of that Chicago meat right there. So that's what they're coming up on. So I think those are kind of a core we're going to see in a lot of teams, definitely the chalk. After that, I do think it starts to branch out. You guys have touched on several of the players. The big question is this an LA duo round? Are you going to go with Paint, Sill, and Pooch? Are you going to double up on that or go with one? As was said in chat by Eli, that offense is electric. I don't know if it's a double up for me. I definitely understand if you want to go that way. I think one is what I'll be targeting, but that is definitely a conversation to have with yourself and talk out in chat if you want to get more to it. I'll throw in a Forsberg is another name that I think I've seen some teams. I think it makes sense based on his form, his skill, and the chance that Red Bulls have against Vancouver. They have a pretty potent offense, can be leaky. You know how I am with Vancouver with the clean sheets. But I think that Forsberg is a player who could get most out of that. Don't know if he makes my top five. Maybe he's number six. I think another dark horse one you could look at is Torres there from Orlando. Depending on what happens with Toronto's lineup, Torres has been on a nice little bit of form. He got the goal last week, had an assist before then. He's had some PK. Mixed. It's a PK. The assist wasn't a PK.
True.
So the assist was not a PK. He also got three shots in that game. He has been limited before, limited in minutes and limited in some of those shot creating actions. He is 7.7. So definitely maybe one of your differential articles for the Team Ranchinator this year. But I think it's one to look at depending on what Toronto rolls out. Otherwise, I think you guys touched on a lot. I'm just concerned about the Columbus lineup. I don't think I would touch on DeRussi this week against LA. I think there are better options right there. I am not huge on Heal. I know that you mentioned him, Ashley, and I'm not huge on him.
I'm not either.
Just because of the mixed reactions that he's had. I don't think I would.
He's not in my team. He was just a name. Do you know what I mean? He's just a name. It's like, I should want him, but I don't.
Anybody should usually want him at home against a weak defense. Yep. But
exactly.
We're in 2024 now.
And so I do also want to mention one more player, and that's Gazdag over with Philadelphia. Philly coming off of the bye round. this past week, so has some fresh legs. He's coming off of 2 goals out of his last 3 consecutive games right there. So good little bit of form. Doesn't get a lot of shots, and so he's making the most out of what he has. But going up against RSL, I think that'll be a good game. But I do think that Gazdag's in the mix right there for some players who you could consider going into this round. Checking over. Yeah, I think that's all that we need to mention. So let's move on to our forwards. Tyler, who do you got?
I have Bawanga currently. If he starts, I want Messi. If not, if he's on the bench, I might bench Messi. I mean, he's just that good.
Yeah.
He's going to come in and put up a 9, you know?
Yeah.
So even if he's on the bench, I might bench him anyways. Giacomakis is a good shout, too, if he starts, given Chicago. But I really, really like Benteke this week. You know, that's why I had to rep some DC out here.
You're the worst. Well, my team's not winning. I don't like them anymore.
Hey, I didn't say I didn't like them anymore.
I mean, but that is exactly what you're saying.
I'm saying they have 2 red cards and they have a game on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, not this Tuesday.
Comment in chat, fair weather fan or not. Let's go.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah. I have Benteke too. I just am crapping on you for wearing a DC United jersey this week. No, I like, you know, Denis Bouanga. I think that, you know, he didn't score a goal up in Portland, but I like him at home so much. He's so much more electric at home for LAFC. He's so generally consistent. I agree with Tyler about Messi for those people who haven't seen. There's some tweet by a guy somewhat affiliated with the Revs saying that the plan is to not start Messi because of the turf. Would make sense. A lot of the other big names have done it. The only one who didn't ever care was Zlatan, right? Because he's
no, Zlatan cared a ton. He would not play on turf.
He would, but
no,
not...
he didn't play in Seattle.
Maybe he just doesn't like you.
Yeah, maybe he just doesn't like us. I feel like there were people who were way bigger about, like, Thierry Henry and Davide and stuff like that, right?
No, Beckham played on turf. That guy
Beckham did. Yeah, well, the league made David Beckham do a lot of things. But I don't know if that's real. It wouldn't surprise me if it was, but it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't. So it's definitely something to watch regarding Messi, because a lot of people are going to say, we want him in our team, and honestly, also probably that we will captain him. But, you know, if he doesn't start, then I agree with Tyler. I honestly will still keep him. If he's on the bench, especially with Gomez getting hurt and them having kind of a thin, you know, offense, it would make more sense to me to not start Luis Suarez. But, you know, it's just something to pay attention to regarding lineups. I think there's a couple other striker options to pivot to if pivoting is what you want to do. But I echo what Tyler said. I would honestly probably move Messi to the bench if he's in the 18, just because it's a bench play and he honestly could come in anyways. My third striker is Christian Benteke. I don't think we can say enough the fact that Seattle got 2 red cards, so they're down their starting center back, and they most likely are trading away their backup center back before tomorrow. Arriaga
is there a rumor about that?
Yeah, he might go to the Revs. Seattle's been trying to offload him for a while, so. If Arriaga leaves when the window closes Tuesday, backup center back. Alex Roldan has a replacement, but it's still not great. So I think betting on Benteke against Seattle defense is incredibly smart. Benteke, however, has been inconsistent, so that's the thing that worries me. I prefer Cucho against Montreal, at home against Montreal, if they don't rotate. But so much of that depends on the CCEL stuff midweek. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. I also have cycled in Gigi a little bit, but I always get really nervous when people are coming back from injury, and he's one that tends to re-injure. Like, we saw that a lot last year where he'd come back from an injury and then get injured again. And so that makes me nervous. I just like that matchup. So I also wouldn't horribly shake my head at a Brian Rodriguez pickup this week. I think that I agree with what Reed said earlier. Even though I am currently back stacking Lloris, it's more of just a, you know, going through the motions. But I think that, you know, Portland's going to score on that LAFC defense, and he has been kind of hot and cold for Portland so far, but very involved. So I think there's a couple different options this week.
Absolutely. You guys have covered so many of them. Messi Benteke 100% for sure in my team. Messi watch for round 10 to see where he actually positions there. I've seen Bawanga in a lot of teams. Don't forget, he was held scoreless against Portland the last time they played Portland 2 weeks ago. So
in Portland.
In Portland, that's fair. No, that's totally fair. But I'm not 100% on Bawanga being the guy. I like the GG call out. I love the Cucho call out as well. I think for the same reasons that you mentioned Mukhtar, Tyler, we may need to mention Surridge as well.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. You don't think so? I mean,
nah.
Something to think about as you're going through there is, if you're betting against that defense, who's going to be lining up against that defense? So you can take a look there. And in the same thought that you had had about Sporting Kansas City, talking about who you wanted to target, you were mentioning Laud, but also Tane Uwalese was...
Or Pukki, yeah.
Or Pukki, yeah. Whoever starts up there. Pukki didn't have it. It was Uwalese who was up there at the beginning of last round, shared some minutes, not a whole lot of time. But one of those forwards could be an option for you as well if you want to take that bet. I don't know. For me, I'm kind of waiting to see what happens with Messi, what happens with Cucho, and just to see how the conversation evolves from there. But I would love if Gigi started to bet, to have that more bet against Chicago, because I'm hoping that there's going to be goals in that one. That's absolutely why I had Almada in my team.
Denis Belonga has 5 goals in 4 home games so far this season.
I was about to say, looking at home, he has 10, okay. 5, 19, yeah. 12, 14 at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, how many of those teams had he already played once before playing again?
I mean, now that you're asking me to do too much.
I'm just saying, it's worth part of that conversation for
I mean, which none, has none of them.
None of them, sure.
But I think, I definitely hear what you're saying, but I don't think Portland defense on the road is abysmal. Portland defense at home is also kind of...
And it's at the bonk. Well, I guess it's not what it's called anyway, but they're at the bonk.
We can say. No, I mean, he is by no means a bad choice. I just don't think it's set in stone 100% he's in your team this week. I think that's definitely a flex role that's you have for who you could rotate in.
And Blaine flashbacks with you right now, but I'm going to let it go.
I think that is a valid thing to say to help the listeners get the full, like, we're not this you all right, everybody. You've got to have Messi, you've got to have Bawanga, you got to have a ticket. That's your team, done, set in stone. No, there are some
I think other Messi and Bawanga are the only two, but
I'd agree. I will hedge and say I'm open to all the conversations, but those two I think have very solid arguments for why they deserve a spot in a lot, if not all.
You know what? Let me throw another one out there. If he starts over the DP forward, Duncan Maguire is going to score this week.
Oh, okay. Now that's a good shout out.
But he has to start over Muriel to do that.
Sure. All right. Well, let's wrap everything up with our captain picks. Ashley, who do you like?
Messi. I like Messi if he starts, and then this will come as no surprise based on our current conversation, but if he, Messi doesn't start, I will captain Denis Bouanga.
I don't know. Reed might not get mad
at
you over
it's
that.
In the notes. I'm not just like messing with you now, but I typed it hours ago.
I'm on Messi cap right now, but there's two guys that I could go if Messi does not start. I would either go Santirod, or Ashley's going to be so mad at me. I'm heavily considering Benteke cap.
That's fine. Just the jersey that really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking him too. I don't think that's a bad choice, but
I'm considering the captain though, if Messi does not start.
So I too have it on Messi, as does chat. If Messi does not start, as of this recording, I don't have a fallback. I have not thought that through of who I would want.
Have Bouanga.
Well, no, I don't have Bouanga. I mean, I have Benteke. That I understand the Benteke. I mean, I've also got Almada. I mean, I'd strongly consider Almada as a potential because I don't like that. I don't trust Gigi enough to throw it onto him if I added him in there. But yeah. Almada, I would absolutely consider as a fallback captain for that. However, as we know, forwards have been the captain kings this year. So if it was not Messi, then there'd be a lot of hard thought of who should it be.
Sure.
As was mentioned, if it was Cucho, how much time will he get? Even if he does start, how much time will he get before he comes off, if need be, to see what happens for the rest of CCL. So we'll see. But right now for me, it's Messi, and I am an open mind to how the conversations evolve as the rest of this week goes on for who a potential backup captain might be. Or you listening could take your opportunity to vote in the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord player poll this round, where you can select who you think captains could be. And I'll share that information at the end of the week for where we rank the players as we go into that final round. So it should be a lot of fun. Head over there now. Christian puts a lot of work into that. So do us a solid and vote in the player poll. But that's all that we have for the show tonight. Thank you everyone for joining us and participating in chat, for sharing the links and just being a part of this fantasy community. We're going to wrap everything up tonight with our plugs. Tyler.
I don't have a whole lot of plugs. I'll just plug the article, I guess, again, as always.
Of course.
Go check it out, but beware, do not pick any of Matt's picks because he likes to bust.
Wow.
That's harsh. That's harsh. Ashley.
That was aggressive. I would like to shout out the, I'm referring to him currently as the other Tyler. I don't think anybody else calls him that, but Tyler from Gen Chat on Discord, I gave him my tickets to the weekend, and I was excited to share because my household was sick, and I felt so bad that he had to watch that game for the Sounders, and so I just want to shout him out because, you know, free tickets are fun. We have pretty decent seats, but what a terrible, terrible time. So apologies and just shout out to him. He won a trivia fact from me, so got those tickets.
Hey, no, that's all good.
I tried to give them to other Tyler for free, and he didn't want them.
Wow. Wow,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, I definitely said that I am not interested this week.
Just to show the...
I was feeling it, dude.
That's going
No. No, I predicted it. I knew what was going to happen, obviously.
That's what it was.
Wow, that's
or is it because I didn't go that they got the Reds?
It's hard to say.
Well, you know, the way, the kind of fan you are, who knows, Tyler?
I've only been following the team since like 2010, you know.
Do we let that
one
go
after
Ashley?
They started, Tyler?
I know, the year after they started.
Well, of course.
That's why I said 2010.
That's okay. Of course, for me, MLSFantasyBoss.com. You can check out the articles that we have going up there, including the one that Tyler mentioned and the player poll that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. Check me out this week on Holding the High Line. That's where I'll be talking with Matt Pollard and crew about fantasy. If you want to tune into all things Colorado and the little bit of fantasy in Cincinnati that I will bring to that show today. And of course, as already mentioned, MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community, a server. It is the place to be involved in the best fantasy community that there is on the internet, MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord, the easiest way to get connected to that community. It is free, it is fun, and just come on out and try it if you have not at this point of the season. So check it out. That's all that we have for the show tonight. Thank you very much for listening, and as always, good luck.